As we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from Matthew 18. This is Jesus speaking. It says, "Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it'll be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we feel a little bit small, a little bit quiet this morning, but there's more than two or three. And so we know this beautiful truth because you're the one that promised it, that as we gather in this place, you are right here in our midst in a special way, hearing our hearts and letting your heart be known, receiving our gifts of worship and filling us with your love and your strength, your forgiveness and your peace. And so, Lord, knowing that you're here, would you open every eye, every ear, and every heart to encounter you in this place? Would you do your good work among us? Would you heal us where we need to be healed? Would you forgive us where we need your forgiveness? Would you empower us and encourage us where we need your strength and your courage? And would you love us where we feel unworthy of being loved? Lord, we're here because most of all, more than anything in the world, we want to meet with you. And so be honored in this place and do in each of us whatever it is you want to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said farther, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Would you pray with me? Now, Father, as we turn to your word, we do so because we desire to hear from you, to encounter you, and to be moved by you in this place. And so we ask your spirit to move freely, helping each of us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. So you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were here last week, you remember that we spent the morning hanging out with the wise men. These men from the east who journeyed to come and to find themselves in the presence of Jesus. And there in his presence, they knelt down, they worshiped him, they gave him their gifts. And then an angel spoke to them in a dream and said not to go home the same way they came because Herod could not be trusted. And so the story ends with this little note that says, "And so they went home by another way." And we talked about how for the wise men that was a realistic, a very literal fact. But for us, there's this great metaphor that every time we find ourselves standing, bowing, worshiping in the presence of the living Christ, if we let him, he sends us home by another way. He opens up new pathways of life, new pathways of freedom, new pathways of healing for us every time we encounter him. And so for these next 6 weeks, we're going to just be in this series of looking at what it means to encounter Jesus and be sent home in another way. What are some of the new pathways that he opens to us that are ours to walk in and ours to live in if we so embrace what he gives us? This week we start off with this idea that somehow encountering Jesus lifts us up from the paths of boredom and puts our feet on new paths of enthusiasm and adventure. I invite you this morning to encounter Jesus and go home from this place by another way. Bored no more. Is anyone in this room a little bit bored these days? A little bit, all the teenagers. Anybody besides teenagers? Anybody a little bit bored with life? You find, you're kind of like Eeyore, you wake up and think, another day. Same routine, same TV shows, same errands to run, same calls to make, day after day after day. Anyone a little bit bored with work? There we go, now we're getting honest. Same old people, same old meetings, same old boss, same emails, same desk, same pay, year after year. Anyone a little bored with school? That's where I get my teenagers again. Yeah, yeah, the same old work, tedious work, homework, schedule, same people again and again. Anyone a little bit bored with home, with Belfair? Same old restaurants. Some teenagers again. Poor teenagers. They need some help. Same old restaurants. Same old stores. Same old people. Some of you have been here your whole life and you're like, same old people. Same view. It's a beautiful view. Do you ever get tired of it even still? Here's the other, the honest question that the kids answered honestly. Anyone a little bored with church? Yes, Kenan, we know. The same prayers, the same stories, the same old stuff. Dare you say the same old people. Week after week. Ever feel a little bit like, I hope this is coming up. Yeah, anybody feel a little bit like this sometimes? The Simpsons clip, if I show the whole thing, I can't because he says a cuss word eventually. But once they get home, they all rush home and Homer and the kids throw their clothes off and Marge is in the doorway. And she's like, you're wrinkling your church clothes. And they totally ignore her. And Maggie says, the best time of the week, the longest time till we have to go to church again. And Marge says, church isn't supposed to be a chore that you do. It's supposed to be helpful. And Homer goes, it's supposed to be, but it isn't. Who wants to go to the dump? And they all say, yeah. Anyone feel a little like that sometimes? I mean, it's quite the opposite of what Annie Dillard says about church. She said, it's madness to wear ladies' straw and velvet hats to church. She said, instead, we should be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue out life preservers and signal flares at the door. For in this place of worship, the waking God may actually draw near and draw us up and out from wherever we have been to where we can never return again. Those two pictures are as far apart as can be. Falling asleep in worship, bored to tears. Or crash helmets on, ready to encounter the living and moving and shaking God. Which is more us? You know, research shows that 30 to 90% of American adults encounter boredom at some point every single day. And I love that our church just proved the research because they said, you talk about teenagers, they said 90 to 98% of youth encounter boredom every single day. More than two-thirds, get this, more than two-thirds of American adults are chronically bored at work. Where you spend 40 hours a week of your life, two-thirds of adults chronically bored. And I mean, we know that boredom to some degree isn't just this bad thing. So we're too afraid of boredom in some ways and want to stay entertained all the time. The next stimulus always coming our way. And we need some boredom, right? Boredom gives our brains, our bodies a chance to rest. It actually opens up doorways for creativity and imagination and problem solving and just good, genuine fun. But this more chronic boredom this stuck in the same old routine, this sleeping through life kind of boredom. Now that can be dangerous. Because those who just live in boredom, they struggle more than others with loneliness and anger, sadness, and worry. If you're just bored, you're going to think about all that's wrong in the world. With chronic boredom, won't be a surprise, comes a much higher risk of drug addiction and alcoholism, pornography addiction, compulsive gambling. Chronic boredom can be a very destructive thing. And so we say, well, maybe boredom is just part of life as we know it. But is it? I mean, it wasn't even really a concept till the 18th century. Before that, people just lived to survive and there was no time to get bored. So is it really just part of life as we know it? And the bigger question, is it really part of life as God intended it? I don't think so. Because the best way I know to understand life is to look at the life of Jesus. And when we look at the life of Jesus, we can call Jesus in his life many, many things. But boring is not one of them. I mean, from the very get-go, from his birth in some kind of barn cave thing, to his crib in a feeding trough, to angels and shepherds and wise men coming to celebrate this new baby. Nothing about this birth is boring. Not to mention Holy Spirit conception, virgin birth. It's not boring. And when we get this 12-year-old boy roaming around Jerusalem by himself, left behind by his parents, it's not boring. And then Jesus spends a lot of his time hanging out at meals, the most maybe ordinary thing that we all do every day. We all eat every day. Should be just a typical thing, but a meal with Jesus was never just a boring meal. Have you noticed that? Jesus shows up and all of a sudden the wine gets a whole lot better. And the bread gets multiplied and these sinners who have never had a friend all of a sudden get a friend. And when Jesus shows up at a meal, the most basic things like bread and wine become his body and his blood. That's weird, and it is not boring. It's not boring at all. Not even a meal with Jesus is boring. You think about just a day in the life of Jesus, and he's running for his life most of the time. And he's preaching these mind-blowing, life-reorienting sermons. And you hang out with Jesus for a day, and you might see a leper get healed, or you might see a blind person begin to see, or a lame person start walking. On the best days, you're going to see a dead person raised to life. And you're going to see some Pharisees get told, which is totally not boring. And tables get turned. He's never staying put in one place for more than a few days. Life with Jesus is all kinds of things, but one thing that it is not is just plain boring. And then you start looking at those who hung out with Jesus, those who encountered Jesus every day, day after day. It doesn't take long before they start becoming like Jesus. I mean, just take Peter as a case in point. Before he knew Jesus, he was just this ordinary, routine job, fisherman kind of guy. And all of a sudden, he encounters Jesus, and he's told he's going to start fishing for people, and he'll soon find out that's not boring. He goes from these long nights on these quiet seas to having front row seats on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus is surrounded by Moses and Elijah and his clothes turn this dazzling white and the heavens open up and he hears the voice of God, "This is my son, follow him." There's a fisherman, front row seats to that. It's not boring. And then from clocking his hours and paying his taxes and staying kind of quiet and hidden when things get tense, all of a sudden he's preaching to 3,000. And he's healing the lame himself, and he's off on mission every day, and he's seeing visions, and he's baptizing entire households in the name of Jesus, and he's talking to God all the time, living, dying for Jesus. This was Peter's life. After he encounters Jesus, it was all kinds of things, but boring was not one of them. Name any of the apostles, and you can say the exact same thing. Look at the people in the faith who inspire you the most, and you can say the exact same thing. Their life was all kinds of things, but boring is not one of them. folks who encounter Jesus day after day, who stand in his presence and listen to his voice and worship him with all they've got. Their lives are all kinds of things, but boring is not one of them. So how do we do it, we ask? How do we really encounter this Jesus and let him set our feet on this path where we really are chronically bored no more? But instead, we look at our lives and see marked all over them this spirit of enthusiasm. Anybody feel like their life is full of enthusiasm? Oh my gosh, that answers my question. And that is what you're invited into, holy smokes. Oh my gosh, get off of that path. Be enthusiastic. He's inviting you into it. A life of holy adventure. How do we get from there to there? A few ideas. There's more, but here's just a few for today. Some of you have a little handout that some of you like that. It'll help you actually take this home and practice this new path of enthusiasm. All right, I'll work on it. One idea, worship expectantly, as if God might actually show up in this place right here, right now. That'll wake you up, I hope. Just last Thursday in Good Shepherd Group, we were in Acts 12. And Acts 12 starts with Peter in prison. Herod's thrown him in there. And the church is together, and they are praying fervently. They're worshiping. They're begging God to send Peter home to release him from prison. And lo and behold, God hears their prayers, and this angel shows up in the prison cell and tells Peter, get dressed and get up. We're getting out of here. And this angel walks Peter out of prison. The first place he goes, naturally, is to the church, these people who are gathered and worshiping and praying. And he knocks on the door, and this servant girl named Rhoda opens the door, and there's Peter. And she shuts the door in his face, and she goes back to the group of people and says, it's Peter. And they're like, no, it can't be Peter. I mean, they're sitting here praying, please, God, release Peter. And there's Peter. And they're like, no, it can't happen. I mean, they're praying for something that they're not even expecting to happen. Well, they finally open the door. Poor guy just keeps knocking. And they see it is Peter. God does show up sometimes. God does hear our prayers. God does move mountains to meet us in this place. We worship expecting this God to actually meet us here. Revelation 3, Jesus likes this knocking image. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I say, if anyone will just open their heart to me, I will come in and I will eat with them. When we gather and worship, we've got a Jesus who's right here, and he is knocking every single time we gather to worship. And if we dare open our hearts to him in this place and just expect a little bit that he might actually have something of life for us, he says, I will come in and I will eat with you. Do we expect that? When you came in here this morning, did you expect to encounter God in this place? Did you expect your heart's needs to actually maybe be attended to by the living God? When you came in just like 50 minutes ago, did you expect to leave 20 minutes from now with a brand new calling from God? Maybe not, or you might not have come. but did you? And if you didn't expect any of those things, then why did you come? I mean, what's the point if we're not actually expecting the God of the universe to meet us in this place and send us off on another kind of path? Jesus tells us where two or more are gathered in his name, he's here among us in a very special way. God spoke through his prophets and said, when my people who are called by my name lift up their voices together and pray, behold, I hear from heaven and I answer their prayers and I heal their land. That's what our God says. Did we come here this morning expecting the living God to actually show up in our midst and do something? If we did, we can't be bored. because it is really hard to fall asleep when you expect the God of the universe to show up any second now. On Thursdays, where's Zeta? Man, I got the story about Zeta. On Thursdays, Zeta, there she is. Can you hear me? This is for you. She's at Tops downstairs. And I have my dog at work on every day. And my dog, Charlie, loves Zeta. She loves Zeta because of who Zeta is. But even more, she loves Zeta because Zeta always has a pocket full of treats. And Charlie knows this about Zeta. And I don't know how her little doggy brain works, but I tell you, she knows which day of the week is Thursday. And on Thursdays, starting about 10 a.m., Charlie gets up from behind my desk and goes to the window of my office. And she stares at Zeta's car. Just stares at it. Because Zeta goes from Tops to her car into the church. She will stare at that car for 30 minutes. And you cannot talk her out of it. Right about 10:30, she moves from the window to the front door. And she lays by the front door with her eyes wide open. Her little ears are up. And she is not blinking. Nothing will distract her. She is staring at the front door of the church, just waiting, because she knows it's Thursday and it's almost 11 a.m. And at 11 a.m., Zeta walks in this door and gives me my treats. That's what her entire Thursday revolves around. And you're never going to catch Charlie on a Thursday sleeping on the job. Because she's expecting someone to show up. Someone to show up who's got something for her. And she's not going to miss it. What if we showed up in this place a little bit like Charlie shows up on Thursdays? Not waiting for Zeta, though I love that Zeta's always here. But waiting for the living God. Just knowing he's here. He's here, so I'm going to have my eyes wide open. I'm going to have my ears up. And I'm just going to look attentively until he comes and shows me what he's got for me. What if we came to worship like that? We could be bored no more. Another idea, if that doesn't work for you, play with your worship practices. Just have fun engaging the heart of God. These, we call them disciplines sometimes. That might have been our first mistake. Have fun with the disciplines. Who does that? Let's not call them disciplines. Let's call them opportunities. Have fun with these spiritual opportunities, these invitations to connect to the heart of God, be it prayer or Bible study or fasting. My friend Peggy is doing this fast right now, and this morning she was talking about how fun it is. It can be fun to engage the heart of God even when you're fasting, because it's an opportunity to get closer to him. To see these spiritual practices not as homework, but as chances to fall in love with the lover of your soul and just have some fun with it. Do you ever find yourself in the morning just kind of dreading that moment of prayer? It just kind of seems daunting, boring. Something else seems way more interesting. Do you ever find that it's just so hard to pick up this little tiny book and actually read it? The other books on my dresser just look more interesting. The news seems more exciting. It's just kind of this spirit of dread, of boredom, of these spiritual practices. So we just put them off as long as possible. I give you this invitation this morning to mix it up. If the way you've been doing it isn't working for you and you just dread it and it's like the last thing you want to do on your list of things to do, mix it up. Stay fresh in how you engage the heart of God. It's just like when you love someone and you're dating them and then you're married and then you're married for 20 years, you don't do the exact same thing every time you want to connect with each other. Ever so often you're like, man, I love this person, but we're in a rut and we haven't really enjoyed each other in a while, so we're going to mix it up. We're going to try a vacation somewhere, or we're going to have a different kind of date night, or we're just going to get out of our comfort zones because we want to connect. So we need to keep it fresh. We need to play around until we find what works in this season to keep our hearts coming to each other. The whole book of Psalms, all that is the people's book of worship for them to use in their worship of God. And if you begin to read the Psalms, there's no two that are just alike. It's 150 of them. And there are dozens of different ways that the people connect with the heart of God that we just see in the Psalms alone. A good chunk of these Psalms are Psalms of lament, like Psalm 22 that starts off with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of the Psalms have tears, just like that. Some of these Psalms are Psalms that are meant for the entire community to sing together as they are marching into worship together. Picture that. They would march into worship together, like Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? All in unison, they would say, my help comes from the Lord. Some of the Psalms are these gritty confessions that you can hear them being first sung in somebody's private prayer closet. We think of David after his great sin with Bathsheba. In Psalm 51, he cries out, have mercy on me, O God. I was born a sinner. O God, wash me and I will be clean. Some of the Psalms invite God to come and to do his deep work in us. Psalm 139, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Show me if there's any wrong way in me and set me right, O God. Out of all these psalms, some of them are meant for individuals and some of them are meant for everyone to sing together. Some of these psalms were written to be sung while people are dancing around having a party, and some of them are meant to be sung with your face to the ground while you're weeping. Some come with joy. Some come in moments of great anxiety. You see, the people of God have been given countless ways to connect to the heart of God. There's no one or two ways to do it. And so if you're bored with the way you've been trying to get to the heart of God, just do this. Just mix it up. Just have some fun in this God relationship. Try something that maybe you've never tried before. Just a few ideas. Have you ever tried just sitting totally silently in the presence of Jesus with a blank piece of paper and said, Jesus, for this time, I'm not going to say anything. You have the floor. Here's my heart. Here's my ears. You, Jesus, speak, and I'm not moving until you speak. And as you have these thoughts that come to mind that are not your own, as you feel that little nudge in your spirit, write it down on the paper. That's your God speaking to you. Try that. It's not boring. Maybe you want to try Lectio Divina. Your worship guide on the back tells you how. Pick one short passage of scripture and read through it at least 3 times. Slowly, and say, God, I'm not closing my Bible until this story engages my heart. And just try to sit there until that happens. Maybe you need to get out of your house and go on a prayer walk with Jesus. Go to the nearest forest. Turns out they're everywhere. And walk in the trees and talk to Jesus about what you see and what you hear. Let him talk to you. Get moving. Maybe what you need this week is wherever you pray, pull a chair into that space, an empty chair, and set it right in front of you. And while you're praying, you can close your eyes or just look at that chair. But envision Jesus sitting right there. Right there, and he's looking at you. And just tell him what's on your heart. Because he is right there. And sometimes we just need to be able to see it. Whenever you find yourself wanting to sing to God this week, close your eyes for a moment and try to envision heaven. And as you envision heaven, try to envision Jesus right there on his throne and the saints and the angels gathered around, and lift up your song and hear it joining that heavenly chorus. It's not boring. If you're doing all this on your own, join a group. We've got all kinds of groups around here. Join a group. Do it in community. There's lots of great prayer apps on your phone. Try one of those. Hear someone else pray and let that become your prayer. In the next month or two, look at your calendar and set up, say, 2 days that you'll go on retreat, just you and Jesus. Spend a weekend with him. You can even miss church that weekend if you have to. It's okay. Not you guys. Y'all need to come back, but you guys can do that. When's the last time you went on vacation, just you and Jesus? Try it. Have fun with it. Here's another way to have some fun. Before you open the Bible tomorrow morning, say, God, I dare you. Have some fun daring God. I dare you to give me a challenge in today's word. And then say, self, I dare you to do whatever God says. Make it a truth or dare game. That's always fun. Do something. Mix it up. Have some fun. Whoever said this life with God has to be so serious and so sterile? We are a people with the active, creative spirit in us. Have some fun connecting with the heart of God. There's just no need to get stuck in the same old habit. Play with worship. Have fun uncovering those jewels in the heart of your God. Mix it up and be bored no more. Another idea, create something beautiful. The very first picture we get of God in Scripture there in Genesis 2, we find God playing in the dirt, making mud pies. He's getting his hands dirty. He's creating something beautiful. It turns out that it's us. We have a God who likes to play in the dirt. A God who loves to create beautiful things. Creativity, it connects us to the heart of God. And it's not boring. So if you're feeling a little bored these days, just do this. Just find some way to get your hands dirty and create something. Something of beauty this week. You can doodle or you can paint while you're worshiping. You can dabble in poetry. You can write a song. You can sculpt something. Take a picture of something that's beautiful. Just marvel at this beautiful world that God's given us and create something that helps all of us marvel too. This is worship. And in creating, getting our hands dirty, we are bored no more. Another idea, look for God everywhere. Like this big life game of Where's Waldo? But instead, call it Where's God? Remember those Where's Waldo books? They'd have these pages just full of stuff, a big busy scene, and you knew little Waldo with his red and white shirt was somewhere in there, and you would look and look to find him. What if we walk through the world saying, where's God? I know he's here. I know he's here. And I'm going to keep looking until I see him. Moses, that Exodus 3 story, that day he's in the wilderness watching his father-in-law's sheep. Could there be a more boring day than that? He's in the middle of nowhere, no humans to talk to, just a bunch of lousy sheep, not even his own sheep to keep his eye on. I mean, boring. But it wasn't boring because in that very place on that very day, turns out the living God was right there. That bush that was on fire but not consumed. And Moses steps aside and lo and behold, he hears the voice of God and receives a calling from God. Turns out he's everywhere. In the wilderness with Moses, in the grocery store with us. What if we just walk through this earth with eyes wide open saying, where's God? Where's God? Where's God? Maybe just this week, before every errand you run, before every phone call you answer, before every meeting you step into, you just throw up this quick prayer. God, help me see you in this place. I know you're going to be there. I know you're in Safeway. I know you're in this terribly boring meeting at work. I know you're there, God. And so give me eyes wide open to see you. Show me the burning bushes that are right here. Oh, God, let me not miss you in this place. When we're looking for him, we just can't get bored because we just keep seeing him. Elizabeth Barrett Browning has this beautiful quote. She says, earth is crammed with heaven. I love that. And every common bush is afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest just pick blackberries. The rest just stand around saying, this is boring. Whenever God is right there. Just this week, my life as a pastor, I had folks who had come and told testimonies about seeing God at their workplace and seeing God in their children and seeing God at the grocery store and seeing God in an email. Were you one of those people? Because he was there. He was there. Did you see him? This week, there's another chance. Look for God everywhere. odds are you'll see him, and seeing him, you will be bored no more. Finally, one more way to live this life of enthusiasm on this new path with God: step fully into your calling, because there is no room for boredom there. That thing that God has been nudging you to do, just do it. And do it all the way. And you will soon find that if that is God's calling, then all of a sudden that is what you are thinking about all the time. And that's what you're dreaming about. And that's what you are putting your efforts toward. And you just can't get bored, because this thing, whatever this thing is always moving you forward. Think about the Apostle Paul. And once he received his calling from God to go and to be a leader among the Gentiles and build up the church of God, from that day on, his boredom was over with. Well, when Paul was a free man, you find him in Acts and the epistles, always traveling and preaching and praying and healing, and he's doing it all for the sake of the church. And then lo and behold, he gets stuck in prison. Could there be anything more boring than that? There he sits in a prison cell. But you know what? As he sits in this prison cell, there he is writing furiously to the churches, praying for the churches, teaching his cellmates and the guards about Jesus. Right there in the prison cell, he is bored no more, because he had this calling that called for his heart's full attention. And it's just hard to get bored when you are immersed in your calling. My calling, as you know, I hope, is here. Us. Growing us together as the people of Christ. And I find that I am always praying about us. And I'm always talking about us. And I'm always dreaming about us. And I'm always trying out some new things for us. And I go to sleep with BCC on my heart. And I wake up with BCC on my mind. It's like every time there's downtime, there you are again. You consume me. You haunt me in the very best ways. I just can't get bored, because there's this calling that just consumes me, and it just keeps moving me forward. It's us. What's your calling? What's God inviting you into that will take up your energy and your passion and your dreams and your time in all the best sorts of ways? I invite you this week, embrace that calling and be bored no more. My friends, our God is lots of things, but boring is not one of them. And worship of God is lots of things, but boring should never be one of them. A little bored with life as it is, here is your holy invitation today. Encounter Jesus. Get close to him. Closer. Closer. Stand in his presence. And go home another way. Release to this life of holy expectancy. And worshipful play, and beautiful creativity, and eyes wide open to the God who's right here, and this adventurous calling that just keeps moving you forward. Encounter Jesus, really encounter Jesus. And before you know it, you'll realize you're just bored no more. Would you pray with me? Father God, this is my heart for us, that we would be alive in your enthusiasm and in your spirit of adventure. That we would be a people who encounter you, O Jesus, again and again. And in that encounter are free, are empowered, encouraged to walk the path of life and of joy, of fun, of purpose, of creativity, and of great risk. Because what other way is there to really live? And so would you shake us up in those places we're just a little bored, a little lazy, a little unexpectant these days. Breathe your life into us, O God, and send us home on another, a better way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.